Hi everyone, welcome to PA Talks, a podcast series by Parametric Architecture, where we are joined by esteemed figures from the world of design and architecture to get into their personal stories, the obstacles they've overcome, their creative process, and their insights into the future. It's great to have you with us. Enjoy our engaging discussions, and to support our podcast, please find out more information in the links provided in the description below. Hi everyone, welcome to PA Talks. In this episode, we have Fabio Novembre in our office. He's an Italian architect, designer, and also founder of Fabio Novembre Studio. So he's known for his unique and innovative design styles and for some of his amazing projects like Who's Who Shop in Milan, Him and Her Chairs, Metro Sport Network Tower, the Lavazza Calendar, the Paddle Pavilion, and the Desert Rose. Fabio Novembre's design often reflect a deep understanding and exploration to human experience, identity, and also perception. His approach to design challenges the conventional boundaries in design styles and also offers the users to experience and engage with the spaces and with the objects that he's designing. Before we dive into the episode, let's highlight Pacademy, an architectural educational platform dedicated to parametric design and computational tools in architecture. In collaboration with top architects and designers, we have covered a vast array of topics in this domain. Join our live workshops and explore the cutting-edge intersection of design, technology, and architecture. Now let's get into the conversation. Hi, Fabio. Thank you so much for coming to our office. This is really nice to meet you. Is this your first time in Istanbul or no?
Oh, I've been in Istanbul so many times. I love Istanbul. I really love Istanbul.
Yeah, so far the weather is really awesome in Istanbul.
Weather is fantastic, but the atmosphere is also super interesting. I mean, really, it's, you know, it's a link between East and West. I mean, it has always been. And you very much feel it like this way. I mean, really, Istanbul is a very interesting bridge.
Yeah. Do you have any projects around here or something?
No, unfortunately not. No, actually not. I came for the opening of a Media Markt. We are doing Media Markt all over Europe. And tomorrow we're opening this big place. We call them Lighthouse. You know, they are like very big concept of Media Markt, completely new. Basically, the idea is that we thought about places like Media Markt as a department store. So everything is more classy, and we respect the personality of the different brands, and so we really elevated completely the range of taste and of expectations. So we raised the bar. I mean, really, it's interesting how MediaMarkt now is setting a completely higher bar to all the other. Opponents. How do you say when someone is doing the same job as you?
Same profession?
Yeah, but I mean, they are...
Same market competitor?
Competitors. Bravo, competitors. You know why probably doesn't come this word to me? Because I don't like the word competition. I think everybody is running his own...
style?
Yeah, his own way, running his own path. You know what I mean? So really, competition is something that really never comes into my mind because I really don't understand it. You know, even in our job, you know, everybody has got his own style. So there is no competition. The client should be more clear in his mind, you know. They should know what they want so that it would be very easy to select or to pick one designer or one architect more than the other.
Yeah. I think when you're clearly choosing your architect or designer with awareness, you know what you want as a client.
Exactly. I always thought that, you know, how can you want something which is completely different? Probably you didn't make up your mind, you know what I mean? So that there should be like a phase for the client in which they need to study. They need to know what's going on. And so it's even easier for them to select who they want.
Yeah, absolutely. You're one of those people who has been working in design industry for the last 25, 30 years, maybe, and rocking the design industry, working with multiple recognized brands and doing really great job, great projects. And I just wanted to know what it takes to be a good designer? What do you think it takes to be a good designer?
You know, let me... there is this sentence from this very good friend of mine, which is Paolo Antonelli, is the architecture curator of the Museum of Modern Art in New York. And she says, Fabio, to make a good designer, it takes a good person. And, you know, at our age, because Paola is my age, for you, it's so clear that really it takes a good person. If you're not a good person, you cannot be a good designer or a good architect. You have to have a good ambition, you know, but an ambition of changing the world for the good. You know, it's not your own personal interest, you know, it's not your horrible ego. You know what I mean? Egos destroy this planet. But especially in our profession, you know, I mean, we do things for the public. You know, we are civil servants in some ways. So that, you know, all this ego thing is terrible. I mean, but the whole ego thing was invented just to sell more bullshit. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, everybody wants to convince you that you need your own car, your own laundry machine, your own cell phone. You know what I mean? I mean, when I was a kid, there was a telephone for the whole family and it was hanging to the wall. What the fuck? Or, you know, but it's interesting. I mean, really, really. And let's talk about the elephant in the room, you know, AI, which is the elephant in the room of our time, is something that for me is the opposite of the ego. You know, it's like a collective soul, a collective spirit, which includes all our thinkings, all our ideas, and it really becomes like possession of everybody. It's of everybody. Everybody can access to it. And I think it's so democratic. It's so leveling, you know, but in a good way. Not leveling like the old communist countries, you know. It's like, you know what? In a very good way.
With the emergence of AI and with this fast idea generation in seconds and creating multiple iterations of a single design, what do you think will be the role of architects and designers in the next 10 years, 20 years, and how it will transform our industry?
Amid, I'm a big simplifier. So you have a computer in front of you. Computer works in a binary way. It's all 0, 1, 0, 1, and infinite possibilities of 0, 1. So that the computational properties of that tool, of that object, are in some ways very simple. It's choosing 0, 1, 0, 1. It's binary. It's binary, the logic. And it can be applied to AI as well. You always choose to go in that direction or in that other direction. So it will always be about choosing. But it has always been the tool of any architect. Let's talk about ancient Egypt. You had to choose. The role of the designer, of the architect, of any creative person is to choose. Because there will always be a roundabout. And you have to choose where to go. You know, the direction. So that it's not going to kill any creativity. You know, creativity has always been like a lot of options. Choose the one that fits you most. And after the first, you have to choose the second. You know what I mean? It's a lot of options. It's like computational thing. It's like 0, 1, 0, 1. Then the sequence of 0, 1 gives a meaning.
Yeah. Me personally, I believe AI will empower us somehow. And it's not the case that we're going to be replaced or we're going to be obsolete or we're going to be deleted from the whole scene of design and progress. But
not at all. Not at all. Plus, not at all, yeah. Let me add something. You know, the word. In any religion, the word, the verb, gives sense to things, makes them existing. You know, you say sofa. The moment you say sofa, it exists because you can name it. Now, naming things for AI is so important because you have to describe to the ChatGPT or whoever, you know, to the AI, what you exactly want. You have to explain, you have to verbalize. So that talking, which is the thing that made us the most interesting animal in the pyramid, is coming back. And you have to be in a good possess of words in order to explain what you really want. You know, even to emphasize the nuance, the details that you want to achieve. So that it's interesting that it's going to come back what the clarity of language as well. You know, because think about, for example, how poor are languages now. Think about the possibility of words that you have in a vocabulary, and think about how many we use in common life, in everyday life. Very few. So that's probably going to make us even deeper in using the basic tools that we have had for thousands of years.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe the same too. And we've been using sketching and hand drawing and writings for so long time. And now we have reached to a point that we're using words, vocabulary, to engineer them in a way that we can get the very exact results that we're drawing in our minds and translate them into a product that we can see as the final result.
But definitely, but you know that mixing skills is something that has been so fundamental for the evolution of man. Yesterday I was having dinner with a professor of chemistry. It was so interesting, the dinner. For example, I'm obsessed with chemistry. You know, being a chemical is like playing with God's tools. You know, they've always been the same. The table of elements, you know, was made by Lavoisier in 1785. Okay, and they're almost the same elements, which is so funny because they're like the Lego of the universe. Yeah. Fuck, it's amazing, amazing chemistry. But the same, you could talk about physics. The same, you could talk about mechanical engineering, nanotechnologies. I mean, the fact that our work can be enriched by all these professionalities, to me, is fantastic. Fantastic. And, you know, come on. Amid, our life as human being has always been a teamwork. You know, we've never been like single players. We don't play tennis in our profession. We play soccer. And everybody has got a role. Everybody has to be good at that thing. But then the result is the combination of these different roles in which everybody excels. You know, I think it's really a beautiful thing to underline all the time, because it's not one person that did it. You know, it's a huge studio. It's a huge collaboration between different personalities, different skills. I mean, I love that of any work, because really this can be applied to everything. This is how humans work.
Yeah, right. What are some of the projects you have focused on recently? Or maybe any ventures, startups, anything?
You know, I understood, Amit, that if I do always the same thing, I get bored. So that my work goes from architecture to graphic design to designing furnitures, to design little objects, to do stage set. For example, now I'm doing stage set for music. I mean, it's like I get bored. I really don't believe in getting specialized into something. I always like to be challenged. You know, and it's quite interesting that after 30 years, more and more, I'm this way. Yeah. So that, you know, for me, it's all about trying to get a result applying on different fields.
Oh, absolutely. Right. What are some of the challenges that designers face these days? I've seen so many topics around sustainability, AI could be another one, politics, and maybe you can point out or mention some of these challenges that you're facing in your daily life while designing or working with recognized brands. Maybe you can address some of those challenges.
I can tell you which is the problem. The problem is that people don't know who they are. You know, I think that there are so many forced interpretations of life. You know, we all are reduced to see things in the same way, so that there is no difference between one another. You know, that's the main thing. I've the suggestion I would give to a new designer, a new architect, is to understand first who you are, which kind of vision you have, which kind of contribution you want to give to the world. Because if you don't understand who you are, you're just going after some other people's vision. You know what I mean? You're trying to walk in other people's shoes, but try your own shoes, or eventually even walk barefoot. You know, it makes sense as well. But you know, really, I think that in a society like this one, where all the things you think you need are induced, completely induced, first of all, you understand who you are. You know, when you develop a very personal point of view, probably you can be a very good designer, architect, but person, I would say you could be a good person, because otherwise, really, it's all overlapped. You see people that looks like industrially produced. You know, they're all the same. And you know, this makes me sad, because we are so different. We are all so peculiar. You know, when you go deep into people, they are so different. And they should just underline that, their differences.
Yeah, right. Your office is also based in Milan, and you're an Italian designer. And we obviously know that Italy and Milan specifically is one of the hearts of the design world, which hosts so many architecture biennales, design weeks, and a bunch of other events that are focused fully on design. And what do you think is the role of Milan, and specifically Italy, in design world?
Hamid, I can tell you the other side of the coin. Italy is probably is the country with the highest level of beauty. You know, we have so many treasures in terms of culture and of creations. But we have so much that in some ways it creates a barrier. You know, I mean, Italy, in fact, became so bureaucratic, and even trying to experiment new kinds of beauties is blocked by the fact that they want to protect what there is. I mean, basically, to explain it simply, we are becoming the guardians of a huge museum, of a huge open-air museum. You know what I mean? Yes. But nothing more than the guardians. So that I think that beauty has to grow on itself. You know, you cannot just preserve it, you know, because otherwise things die. Yeah. Things need to evolve. You know, and let's never forget that our cities are built on layers of old cities. Think about Istanbul. Think about the past of Istanbul, you know. There are so many layers. And if we don't accept that, there's no evolution.
Yeah, sometimes I believe architects and designers are so much focused on the functionality, sustainability, and they mostly forget about the beauty aspects of the design, because design is also inspired by art, and any work that is related to art, I think it should be beautiful. It should inspire. And what is your thought on this?
Okay, you said functionality, sustainability, and beauty. Okay, let's talk about it. Functionality is obvious.
What do you think about the beauty?
No, but let's go to the three of them. Okay, functionality. Of course, it has to be functional. This sofa needs to be comfortable, yeah. But this is not the purpose. I mean, of course, cannot just be this.
Yes.
You know, because we all know it has to be comfortable. So let's give it for granted. Let's try to make it something else. You know, sustainability. Do we want to survive on this planet? Okay, let's try to arrange new rules. Because like this, we're going to disappear. You know, really, I mean, our horizon is to disappear on this planet, because we are killing the link that links us to the planet. And let's go on beauty. I mean, we live for beauty. All our life has been in the direction of beauty. But the word beauty became so slippery. Lots of people use this word in a very inconsistent way, so that it becomes tricky. It becomes a Trojan horse for people to get in some environments. You know what I mean? So that even the word beauty is becoming tricky. So that I don't know. Really, let's go back to the ethics. Let's go back to the Paolo Antonelli statement of being good people. You know, let's try to be good people first of all. Are we helping each other? Are we make other people better? You know, let's ask this to ourselves, because otherwise beauty, you know, people that go in a very expensive shop, spends a lot of money on things that they say they're beautiful, but it's not helping beauty. You know, that's helping a crazy sick system. You know, so that let's try not to sleep on the word beauty. I mean, the word beauty in the past was to be a fantastic word. You know, that ethics and aesthetics actually were taught, they were taught at the same time. Because ethics without aesthetics and vice versa didn't exist. So nowadays we only talk about aesthetics, and where is the ethics? So we need to balance the two things. Otherwise we don't achieve anything.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Fabio.
Thank you, Amit. It was fast here in Istanbul. I'm leaving tomorrow, but really, it was great being here with you. I mean, I can feel the energy of you guys. I mean, you're 33 years old. You came out with this beautiful thing about parametric architecture. We were talking on the way, you know, you, Amit and I, about the fact that parametric architecture is a bit slippery as a word, as a title, you know, but it's architecture with parameters, and we love parameters. Parameters is what we have been talking about until now. Yes. You know, you change a little parameters and it changes everything. You know, I'm talking to the youngsters, okay? Don't believe in U-turn in your life, because U-turn are a Hollywood movie's invention. If you change your life, even of a few degrees, you know, you go to completely another part. Never forget that Cristoforo Colombo was looking for India and he bumped into America. You know what I mean? So that you don't need U-turns. Just go your way. Just look for something that is just in your dreams and you'll achieve something. You'll eventually find America.
Thank you so much, Fabio. Such a nice conversation.